I'm Marty Moss Cohen. Welcome to Radio Times. Earlier this year, Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane announced that she would not seek re-election. She faces a criminal trial this summer and had her law license suspended temporarily by the state Supreme Court. The office has been embroiled in a series of controversies, including the discovery of obscene and offensive emails involving lawyers and judges that Kane said revealed an old boys network in the Commonwealth. There are several Democrats running to be the attorney general nominee, including our guest, Stephen Zappala. He's the district attorney of Allegheny County in the western part of Pennsylvania, a post he's had for almost 20 years, since 1998. His father, also named Stephen Zappala, was chief justice of the state Supreme Court until his retirement in 2002. Our guest prosecuted former Justice Joan Ori Melvin, who was convicted of misusing her office. We asked Stephen Zappala to join us here in our Philadelphia studio to explain why he wants to be Pennsylvania's top lawyer. And nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks, Marty.
And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. This is a question I will probably be putting to all the candidates for this particular job, which is, how do you propose to restore integrity, stability in the Attorney General's office?
Well, first of all, thanks. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
If I can give you a little bit of background first. I practiced law for 30 years. The first 12 years of my career, I practiced in areas that primarily the attorney general would either litigate or their public protection division would protect the interests of people in Pennsylvania, like utilities, how they work, and water authorities, how they work. So if we had issues, for instance, like in Michigan with their water system, Flint, Michigan, then we'd be all over that. And there's remedies, and we can get into that later. But and also, not necessarily in Philadelphia, but in other areas of the Commonwealth, there's a big issue about not-for-profit corporations and taking up large areas of real estate. Well, I sat on what's called the Board of Viewers, which was a mediated cases for the trial court, and you had to satisfy us that you were in fact a nonprofit and before you got that status and exemption from real estate, among other things. For the last 18 years, I've been district attorney of Allegheny County. When we were talking off the show, it's one of the larger jurisdictions in the country. It's the greater Pittsburgh metropolitan area, and routinely, we entertain about 45,000 criminal complaints in the course of a year. Excuse me. Once we screen and vet those matters, and I would submit to you too, when somebody is accused of a crime, it's a very significant event in their lives, and oftentimes it can change your life. So, of those 45,000 criminal complaints, I permit about 16,000 a year to go into the criminal justice system.
About a third, then.
About a third, yes. When I first came into office, if I could explain this. We had a very significant event occur in western Pennsylvania. And we had a guy who was stopped for a motor vehicle violation, and he winds up dead. And my predecessor charged three or four police officers in connection with that death. So they tried that case initially, and the jury hung, which means there was no verdict. And he leaves office. And so the process by which you fill a vacancy for the district attorney is the trial judge's vote. So there's 41 courtrooms at the trial level in Allegheny County. So having grown up literally in the shadow of the courthouse, you mentioned my father, but my grandfather also was a practicing lawyer, but he was a member of the legislature back when, I guess—
In the olden days.
That's true. But I think his session, I think, was most noteworthy was they envisioned a road that connected Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. So when I was a little kid, I grew up with most of these judges, and long story short, they asked me if I would consider becoming district attorney. And then this matter with the death of this motorist really was a big deal. I mean, there are other issues now that are going on in Chicago and Missouri, South Carolina,
about
other areas.
What, police misconduct?
Not just misconduct, but how the people view their criminal justice system and whether or not they think it's fair and whether they, you know, and you talked about bringing back respect for this office. And so anyway, it was a significant issue. We attempted to retry that case, but from that point on, our justice system had become an inclusive process, and we talked about how we want to handle those matters. And here I am, five terms later, you know, still as the district attorney, and we think we're doing a good job.
How do you though translate that to the attorney general's office? It's a bigger office, obviously, because it's statewide.
Right.
But how do you translate what you just described to us to that particular job?
When in the, I think it was late 1970s, Milton Schaap was the governor of Pennsylvania. When there was, it was a, unfortunately, one of the lowest points in the history of our Commonwealth in terms of public corruption. So the legislature created an independent entity that was supposed to look out for the people of Pennsylvania, and that became the Office of Attorney General. It's a $100 million agency, $70 million of which is dedicated to the investigation of prosecution of criminals. It mirrors what the district attorney does at the county level. One of the most important functions it has is to hold public public employees, hold them responsible like the district attorney would hold at the county and municipal levels responsible. I've done that. But it's also it can do so many other things in terms of we have problems, say, in Wilkes-Barre, or we have problems in Reading, violence, drugs. And I would submit to you, too, we have an opiate problem that we have never had in the history of this Commonwealth. And we've studied it for the last 10 years. We've attacked it, and we've attacked it with assets like grand juries and that type of thing. Well, the Attorney General has three grand juries available to him. I'm not sure why there's three and not four or five, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what we're going to do is we're going to use those assets and we're going to attack violence in different areas of the Commonwealth where there are not sufficient police assets to do that.
So. Let me ask you, though, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but nonetheless, I think that the way the current Attorney General, for instance, handled the emails that she came across as she was actually investigating the Jerry Sandusky controversy and scandal. I'm curious how you think you would have handled that differently if you had discovered that. And what do those emails tell us about the relationship between lawyers, between prosecutors and judges, that they feel so comfortable that they could be trading these kinds of emails?
Yeah, excuse me. That is a big concern. In terms of handling the issue about the emails, I'm going to take care of that on the first day. From what I understand, and obviously I'm not in the Office of the Attorney General at this point, although these emails are very damning in terms of people's personalities and people's ability to be judges and maybe to be prosecutors and other parts of the criminal justice system, they don't rise to criminal conduct. So what I would do is I would ask permission from the whoever's in charge of the grand jury to ensure that there's no confidential information in those emails. And I would transfer those emails immediately to either the Judicial Conduct Board and let them deal with judges' misconduct, or I would send them over to the board that governs the actions of attorneys and let them deal with it. I don't know why we're spending $2 million.
And this is the Maryland Attorney General, Doug Gansler, who's looking at all these emails.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why we need somebody to come from the outside, which is another issue about using outside counsel, but I'm not sure why we're spending $2 million when we could have dedicated that to fighting opiates and fighting violence and taking illegal guns off the streets, those types of issues. So I would get rid of that issue right away, and then I would establish very clearly, as I did when I first came in as district attorney, you're talking about state assets, you're talking about taxpayer assets, and you're not going to misuse them. If you do, you're going to be dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had a problem with misuse of assets in Allegheny County and during my tenure. Also, sexual harassment or discrimination, that's not going to be tolerated either. We've never had a complaint while I've been there. And that's a question of leadership. That's just a question of somebody staying home and saying, you know what, this is not acceptable, and you got to know who you are. And you represent the criminal justice system. That's a big deal. And if you don't think it's a big deal, then go out and do something else. So we're going to take care of that right away. There are some very, very good people in that office. Unfortunately, over the years, during my tenure certainly, I've seen people use that office to become something else. I'm not interested in doing that. Being district attorney is an honor to me. If I have the opportunity to be attorney general, I would treat that as an honor also. But you represent the interests of one, the people. You can't represent your own interest or some political agenda or some other interest.
So if people, and I think a number of people in Pennsylvania, concerned that if they were to appear before a judge and there were lawyers in the courtroom where there had been some back and forth involving some of these emails, even the way we have campaign finance in the state, the fact that we elect our judges and lawyers can contribute to campaigns, a concern among the public whether they will get the kind of justice that they deserve if there is this cozy relationship kind of happening behind the scenes.
Right. I agree with that. And I think two judges at the highest levels of our judiciary, they went down the road because of their involvement in this type of thing. Right. In terms of the attorneys or in terms of prosecutors, I'm aware of the interaction at the, through the Attorney General's office. Really, it's the defense attorneys who have a much better relationship with the trial judges. And there's a reason for that. I mean, there's some advantage when you go non-jury as opposed to jury. We understand that. But there are restrictions that we're going to place on people's interaction. And again, you know, we're going to monitor interaction. And this is clearly inappropriate. And I think the people of Pennsylvania have said that.
This goes back a couple of years. Attorney General Kathleen Kane actually refused to carry out a law that she didn't like. It was upholding same-sex marriage in Pennsylvania. That, of course, has changed. Mm-hmm. Are there any laws that you would refuse to uphold in Pennsylvania?
Well, if I could comment on Mrs. Kane's actions. I think that you have, and rightfully so, you have discretion to defend the constitutionality of statutes under Pennsylvania law. In that context, you're talking about marriage equality, and I think it was DOMA.
Yes, it was
Defense
DOMA.
Of Marriage
yes.
Act. Clearly, the act was unconstitutional in light of federal precedent, federal judicial precedent. I agree with her. You know, if it's clearly not defensible, if it's clearly not constitutional, then you shouldn't defend it. But you should articulate that, and I think she tried to do that, or she did do that. So I agree with that.
Any other laws that you think?
You know,
meet that definition?
I was asked this by the Inquirer editorial board. If I'd have to know more specifically, because if you are the attorney general, just like the district attorney, you sit in a quasi-judicial position. You should not prejudge things. You have to know what the facts are and then apply the evidence. But when you're prepared to make a decision, as I do almost every day in Pittsburgh, you stand before the public, whether it's on this show or on TV or whatever, and you explain to them exactly what the circumstances were and what you're going to do.
What's the number one? We're about a minute or so before our first break here, but what's the number one issue you think that's facing Pennsylvania that is, in a sense, the responsibility of the attorney general?
Well, I think in terms of criminal conduct across the Commonwealth, as I said before, we have a tremendous drug problem, opiate problem. And I think that we have to you can fight it. You can't indict your way out of it. It's as much a health care educational problem as it is anything else. And I think one of the things we haven't done well is we have not impressed upon the physicians who prescribe medication. And today everybody specializes, right? So if you go in and you got an elbow injury, one doctor may prescribe certain type of pain medication, and migraine, somebody else is going to prescribe something. If you're not using those, maybe somebody else in your home is, or they're using that and putting it out on the streets. When you're talking about pharmaceutical drugs, it's the new gateway drug.
Right.
So I think we have to hold our physicians, and they're not criminals. I think we just have to impress upon them that you're facilitating a very, very substantial problem, and there are going to be ramifications to it. But that has to come from a discussion first.
Well, I want to pick up on that, but first a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. Talking with Stephen Zappala, and he is running to be the Democratic nominee for Attorney General here in Pennsylvania. We are featuring all the candidates who want to be Attorney General here in the Commonwealth, and we are going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation. You've had a sense, a flavor for what our guest has been talking about, how he thinks about this particular job. Do give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Questions or comments, send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And do stay with us. Much more after this very short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. Yesterday spoke with Joe Peters, the Republican candidate for Attorney General here in Pennsylvania, and with us now Steve Zappala, the Democratic candidate for Attorney General, who has served as district attorney in Allegheny County since 1998, telling us how he thinks of the responsibilities of this job. And again, calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Just picking up on what you said about prescription drugs and putting pressure or asking doctors to be more cognizant, I guess, of the fact that they might be giving people pain medication that would be a gateway to heroin. I mean, how much do you think a district attorney can involve themselves in health care that's being provided by a specific doctor for a specific patient?
Well, the attorney general actually has statutory authority over certain aspects of health care. And they've used that over the years to look into guys who are writing bad scripts or using scripts to take advantage of typically women. There's a way to do it, and it's all going to start with a discussion. But they have to understand. I mean, this is not a question of negligence anymore. This is not a question of, like, I'm too busy. This is a question of it really is facilitating a very, very major problem. Mm-hmm. And together, I think we could impact that. If you're not going to work with me, then there'll be another way that we're going to come at that.
Like a penalty at some
Yes, some kind of penalty, yes. Whether that be criminal indictment of certain persons. But we're going to be looking into the industry very substantially.
And what about the people that are using, you know, either the over abusing the prescription drugs and that leads them to heroin? I mean, in the past, people were using illegal drugs. We threw them in prison.
Yeah, that doesn't work. I mean, when you talk about the war on drugs and the failure of the war on drugs, what we do is my office coordinates a task force of about 900 police officers that targets primarily heroin and methamphetamine. We're looking for the guys who are the dealers. We're looking for the guys whose business it is of narcotics. And I've been doing that from the beginning of my administration. The guys who are drug addicted, I mean, this is another thing I'd like to bring to the Attorney General's office. There are probably about 30 counties, and this would require meetings with the president judges, to sit down and talk about special dockets that identify problems like drug addiction or mental health. Mental health is a major issue, too, that we have to address. But recognizing that people who are sick are not criminals necessarily. They've done things that we can rectify maybe. So what the dockets do is a couple things. One is it helps us, and I'm going to use my experience, helps us to identify people as individuals and not as statistics or files or a DUI case. It also gives us the ability to address the problems that person has and the interaction that person needs to have with his family or her family. And we've been able to reduce the number of indictments and reduce the number of convictions because we've been able to work with people and work with their families and work them out of the system. And I think that has to be done all over Pennsylvania. So I think it's a combination of things to address this issue.
When you made your announcement, you were running for attorney general. You talked about standing up to powerful corporate interests. That's a quote.
Yes.
What were you referring to and what do you mean by that?
Let's use absentee landlords and what they may do on occasion, turning housing complexes into very bad situations for people to live there. We had a housing complex, and this is not unique to southwestern Pennsylvania. I've seen this all over areas of Pennsylvania. We had a housing complex with 1,000 units. 1,000 families were affected. And the managers, owners of the property were out of Cleveland, Ohio. The owners of the property were Prudential Insurance, which is no slouch, right? I mean, it's a big company. So what they did is they collected rents, but they didn't pay for utilities, and they didn't pay for heating systems that were broken. They didn't pay to take raw sewage out of the bottom of basements. And these are nice buildings. These are all brick buildings and really well done. This whole complex was well done. They wouldn't take care of security considerations, lighting on the sides of the building. So areas where children would play when it got dark were dangerous. Security cameras, that type of thing. So the chief of police came to me, and he demonstrated that we have all these criminal issues because these guys aren't taking care of their business. So what I did is I indicted the Cleveland company for creating a criminal nuisance. Mm. And then I went to the president judge or the administrative judge in the criminal division. I said, let me create a receivership and some oversight. And what we did is we started collecting all the rents. So we took care of utilities. We took care of raw sewage. We took care of the boilers. And by the way, when you don't heat buildings in the middle of winter, people heat themselves with charcoal grills. Mm. And two buildings burned. Now that place, there's children there and there's older people there. It's a mixed population. So we took the property. We told Prudential we're going to take all the rent. We fixed the property, and ultimately we turned it back over to Prudential, and it's a much better situation. Most of the crime is gone. In fact, it's negligible at this point. Mm-hmm. It's nuisance crime. But people are entitled to safe and decent housing, which is the overlap between criminal, you know, the attorney general's function or the district attorney's function when it's faced with a criminal problem and how that becomes social injustice or – you know, some other type of issue in the community.
But you can translate that specific issue again to the responsibilities of the attorney general.
Absolutely.
Across the state?
Absolutely. And right now we're looking at a housing complex in Wilkes-Barre, and I have to have some discussions with the district attorney, but I've talked to the mayor and I've talked to the chief of police about that, and we're going to have a plan. Mm.
A Pennsylvania grand jury has accused the Diocese of Altoona, Johnstown, of a cover-up of abuse of as many as something like 50 church officials. They set up a hotline, actually, in the attorney general's office. They heard from something like 250 survivors, tipsters. I'm basically paraphrasing from some of the articles that I read. Also saying that police, district attorneys, judges in Altoona and Johnstown area colluded with bishops in a cover-up. Some are saying this requires a kind of a RICO investigation.
Racketeering,
exactly. Yes. How do you see this case? And do you see this as the responsibility of an attorney general?
Well, first of all, as a practicing Roman Catholic, you're extremely disappointed with the, you know, with the conduct that's been identified by the indictment or by the grand jury. I know that there's discussions about extending the statute of limitations and hotlines and that type of thing. The way the system works right now, by the way, if you're a mandated reporter, which people in the diocese right. would be mandated reporters, or if you're a teacher in a school district, if you think a child is being hurt, much less you're the person doing the hurting, somebody has to report that, and it's called Childline, right. and that comes to the office of the district attorney in the county where the abuse or the issues are raised, and then you put into motion a lot of different things, and I'm cognizant of this because we have a teacher that we're prepared to try next week who took advantage of a child, and he's going to go to a penitentiary for that, by the way. But so yes, it is the prerogative of the attorney general, and I think racketeering. I don't know that it fits at the federal level. I know there's been some discussions.
There
I don't
has.
Know that the predicate acts are appropriate. But it certainly merits discussion, and I see an extension of the statute of limitations on this.
I was just going to ask you about that. You see that as – I mean, that's been an issue that's been argued in
right.
Harrisburg for some time.
Right, and I think people want to see that, but as a practical matter, the older a case gets, the more difficult it is to prosecute. And if there wasn't physical evidence, you know, in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's certainly not going to be physical evidence 25, 30, 40 years ago. But I think it's something that the public wants to address, and I think it's a good issue for the legislature.
Let me just reintroduce you. That's Stephen Zappala, our guest in this hour of Radio Times. For almost 20 years, he's been the district attorney in Allegheny County. That's across the state from us here in Philadelphia, a job he's had since 1998. And he is one of several Democrats running to be Pennsylvania's attorney general. And as we all know, or as you should know, the primary is April 26th, just a couple of weeks away. And while there is a lot of focus on the Donald and Hillary and Bernie
yes, yes.
and others, there are some important statewide races here in Pennsylvania. And that's why we're talking to all the candidates running for attorney general. Calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. I see some comments as well. RadioTimes@WHYY.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY. Radio Times. Let me get Martin from, looks like Glenmore, Pennsylvania, to join us. Martin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask the candidate about his thoughts. I know that in other states, and I think one township here in the Philadelphia region, they're treating the heroin addiction and addiction in general slightly different in that they're asking if individuals want to come in and turn themselves in or so into the police department, they're not going to be prosecuted, but they're actually going to be treated and assisted to recover from their addiction through the police department. I know Gloucester, Mass. Is doing that. What are your thoughts on that? Is that something that could be encompassed in a statewide scenario where we could actually get people assistance through cities, townships, and state organizations to really stop the addiction with the users? You know, of course, it's not 100% because people, you know, they're addicts, but it could potentially curve the addiction, issue that we have here.
Martin, thanks for the call. Stephen Zappala,
yeah,
go ahead.
That's an interesting approach. My concern would be that you're criminalizing something that primarily would be a health issue, or if somebody's looking for assistance, there's so many wonderful agencies out there that can assist people. If we're looking for these people for a particular matter, yeah, I agree with that. I think they should come in and just as we do in the western part of the state, I think the prosecutor should be attuned that this is something that we want to treat. We want to understand it much better and not treat it as we would a drug dealer who is, obviously a drug dealer whose business it is to sell drugs. So, but that's great. I mean, people are talking about this and there's different scenarios being developed. And I think that's what the attorney general's office should do. They should take those and get back to the public and what makes mm-hmm. the most sense, because we're all in this together. This is about our children and this is about our community.
Our guest yesterday said that he would want mandatory treatment. The idea that, oftentimes people who are addicted to drugs don't know what's in their best interest. But he
right.
saw that as something the attorney general's office could do, which is to say that you are required to come in for treatment.
Well, certainly a district attorney can do that because we create the dockets like drug court, and people are screened for that. And there's a reality to this. Can you overcome drug addiction in a short period of time, or does it take – is it going to take other types of means? So, you know, again, I would go to – I've identified maybe 30 counties right now that could accommodate drug mm-hmm. court, DUI court, mental health court. And we're going to have I'm going to have conversations with the president judges about that issue.
Martin, thanks for the call. Let me see what Jay from over the river in Cherry Hill has to say. Jay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. My question is in regards to the different standard of justice for rich celebrities and the average person. And we just had a situation in Philadelphia where a rich celebrity NFL player, it appeared he committed aggravated assault, and a number of other people committed aggravated assault. And the attorney general's job is to keep us safe, and everybody was let go, and these people are loose in the community because, as far as the public can see, they're rich celebrities. I want to know what your plan is for these kind of defendants and how they're going to be treated as compared to the average person on the street who does similar things.
Jay, thanks for the call. And I just so our listeners know, this was a decision made by the Philadelphia District Attorney, so it didn't necessarily involve the Attorney General. But
Who was the
celebrity? An Eagles Shady McCoy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't speak to the details of what Jay just said, but this is something that the local district attorney said that there would not be charges.
Yeah, I think the issue is I understand this, and I don't know what all the evidence was, but when you have a matter that comes in involving any particular person, you expect the judicial system to react quickly. Justice delayed is justice denied. And if you wait several months to make a determination on a case, it gives the public a lot of reasons to discuss the issue. It gives the media a lot of reasons to speculate why a decision can't be made. I don't know that that was a complicated matter. Certainly, again, during my tenure, and I'm not going to second guess the district attorney here as to why he did or didn't do what he did. I've prosecuted dozens of people for public corruption at the highest levels of the judiciary and the legislature. I think it's clear in our jurisdiction that everybody's treated the same way, and I think that has to start from the top. That has to start from the Attorney General, and I would handle it that way.
Jay, thanks for the call to Radio Times. You prosecuted Joan Ori Melvin, who was a Supreme Court justice here in Pennsylvania. She was convicted of corruption, misuse of her office,
six felonies
for that. She was also asked to apologize and had to come back a couple of times to, I guess, satisfy the judge's orders on this.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. That was strange. We had asked judge's sentence, obviously, and prosecutors, you know, you present your case. If you accomplish conviction is determination of guilt by a judge or a jury, and then a judge will sentence. And we had asked for a similar sentence to her sister, who was convicted of some of the same crimes and served, I think she was convicted, 2.5 to 10 years in prison. So we asked for 5 to 10 with Melvin. We thought that was an appropriate sentence. And this nonsense came up about apologies and that type of thing. So yeah. I still don't understand it exactly. And unfortunately, judge's sentence.
Let me ask you about the death penalty. You talked about justice delayed is justice denied. I mean, we do have the death penalty in Pennsylvania. I'm not saying it should be used, but it certainly hasn't been used for years now.
Right.
The current governor has a moratorium essentially looking at the effects, how it's applied, how it's carried out. Where do you stand on the death penalty?
Well, the law of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is the death penalty. So under the appropriate circumstances and the obligation a prosecutor has is to apply the law in an even-handed fashion. In fact, we have a case we're picking right now that we expect to start trial next week, a death penalty case. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I appreciate what the governor did, and he's brought to the forefront a number of different things, I think, not the least of which, and so people know, if you're convicted of first-degree murder and you're sentenced to death, you sit in a cell 23 hours a day. And that is – I mean, that's got Eighth Amendment implications, among other things. But
about cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, but I hear the rationale for the death penalty among prosecutors is always you want to bring closure to a matter. You're not executing anybody in Pennsylvania, and – there's appeal after appeal after appeal. And so routinely a matter goes to conviction, sentencing, and 11 years later it's back at the trial level right where it started and you're going through some of the same issues again. And then once in 10 more years you exhaust all your appeals through the state system, then you're in the federal system. So I think what the governor was – and certainly the gentleman can speak for himself – but I think what he was asking for was an intelligent discussion about where are we going as a community in terms of whether the death penalty makes any sense.
I mean, does it make more sense to have life without parole? So people are sentenced. They don't have to keep going back to court.
Yeah.
And it's settled for the victims, the victims' families.
Well, we have another issue on the table right now, and this has been kind of disappointing in a sense that I want to talk about these types of things with people in Pennsylvania, and they really don't have a good understanding of what the Attorney General can and can't do, because these are issues that we can bring the whole Commonwealth together, and we can come to some conclusions about where we want to go. But right now, the United States Supreme Court has said that a juvenile convicted of first degree murder, sentenced to life without parole, is unconstitutional. So I know that there's a senator from Delaware County who's talking about second-degree murder. So long story short, the Supreme Court has required that the criminal justice system, the judges, review all these cases where somebody has been sentenced to life in prison without parole as a juvenile.
Right.
Now, what if you're an accomplice and you're the wheelman, and somebody goes in a robbery, and that's the person that took the life. And there's a good argument that the guy driving the car wasn't responsible or didn't know that that was going to happen. How do you treat that guy as opposed to the gunman? You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of issues. And I think what the senator from Delaware was asking, too, is how do you treat second-degree murder and that type of scenario? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good time to talk about this issue, and I think there will be cases now that they're back at the trial level for the most part, but they'll be winding their way back up through the appellate courts and maybe hopefully to the Supreme Court, Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Yeah, expeditiously.
Well, let's take another short break and then we'll get back to our conversation talking with Democrat Steve Zappala. He is running for the nomination for Pennsylvania Attorney General. The primary is just a couple of weeks away on April 26th. And since 1998, he has served as district attorney in Allegheny County across the state here in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, I guess, and surrounding counties as well. 1-888-477-9499. Bunch of comments here I'll read after this short break. Radio Times at WHYY.org and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and do stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowain, and we are doing our second in a series of interviews, one-on-one interviews with candidates for Pennsylvania Attorney General. And again, our guest is Democrat Steve Zappala, who has served as district attorney in Allegheny County since 1998. And you can join us at 1-888-477-9499. Let me read an email from Fritz. What would the policy of the Attorney General's office regarding out-of-state concealed carry permits under your administration? And we should talk a bit about guns and Pennsylvania, but what about specifically out-of-state concealed carry permits?
Well, the process right now is that I guess if there's reciprocity between the Commonwealth and whatever other state, and I don't see a problem with that. Unfortunately, you know, when you're in a position that I'm in, every day, literally every day, you're dealing with some tragedy that comes from the possession of an illegal weapon. Not necessarily a weapon, you know, that's lawfully licensed and you get a license to conceal. So taking illegal guns has been a priority for my administration. I'm not really sure what the problem would be if we're just continuing to grant reciprocity. The issue really is more, you know, what criminals do or how guns get into criminals' hands in taking illegal weapons away.
Oops, I just missed the second part of his question, which was really how then do you deal with the problem of illegal guns on the streets, whether Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, or other municipalities in Pennsylvania?
Right. And I would respectfully – I'm going to preface this by saying I respectfully submit – and I've been DA for 18 years, so it's kind of an advantage I have, but I've taken more illegal weapons off the street than any other prosecutor in Pennsylvania right now.
How do you do that?
Well, what we do is we use a grand jury, and what the grand jury does is it identifies drug conspiracies typically, and then there's a violence component of the drug conspiracy. And what we use the grand jury to bring in different police agencies and make them work in concert, and we attack the problem. We attack persons, and if we arrest them for the drugs, you know, and that takes them off the street, then they're not hurting anybody. But so you have to identify the associations first, and then take out the violence component, and it's worked for us, and it, we're going to announce a lot of major arrests sometime in May and June.
We have an email from Richard. What does Steve Zappala intend to do about the over-incarceration rate in Pennsylvania and in the U.S. in conjunction with a voracious prison industrial apparatus?
Well,
can you change the laws? Can an attorney general change the laws?
Well, I think the one thing I am going to do is in Allegheny County Jail, we have 2,900 inmates on a regular basis. 40% of those inmates are on psychotropic medication. Now, that doesn't mean that 40% of those inmates should be in some kind of civil confinement as opposed to being in a criminal justice facility. But a lot of those people should. Now, the ACLU brought suit against the state. I'm not sure what the resolution of that was, but we have two facilities right now, state facilities, one in Norristown and one in Westmoreland County. And we have 300 beds to accommodate, you know, the population out there that really needs help, mental illness. And just like with drug addiction, I don't think you should treat mentally ill persons as criminals. I mean, they may commit acts which require some involvement by the criminal justice system, but ultimately they should be treated in another venue.
Is that an argument for bringing back the state mental institutions?
Well, I think that's what the ACLU put into play. Now, that didn't really address the issues that we have in the western part of the state, and that's why I need to know what the resolution was, because this has to be a comprehensive plan, not just two-thirds of the Commonwealth. excuse me. I mentioned problem-solving dockets before, but those dockets work with people, and they don't go to jail. And they're not convicted of crimes. And so, you know, we've had a lot of success with that, but we have to continue to bring that type of mentality to, you know, every county in Pennsylvania. It may not work in the smaller counties, but some of the larger counties, certainly, you know, those types of dockets can work.
That's Steve Zappala, our guest, running for Attorney General here in Pennsylvania, Democratic candidate. And you can join the conversation at 1-888-477-9499. We know that the presidential race has sucked up a lot of the energy and oxygen, but here on Radio Times, we are keeping our focus on everything, including what's happening nationally and certainly what's happening here in Pennsylvania. So do give us a call. And we got a bunch of comments as well, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me play an ad that you have. Obviously, it's a TV ad. We're going to play it on the radio. And this is an ad that's been running.
During his 18 years as District Attorney of Allegheny County, Steve Zappala led the most important fights to keep people safe. Zappala created the first ever dedicated domestic violence unit and cracked down on violent criminals using illegal guns. Zappala, the only DA in our state to convict an on-duty officer of a shooting homicide, and he pioneered videotaping traffic stops to improve trust. Steve Zappala, the prosecutor, the Democrat for Attorney General.
You did have another ad which featured that now infamous traffic stop of Sandra Bland. She died a couple of days after that. Her family, I believe her mom, said she didn't want you to use her daughter's image in your ad. You pulled it, yes?
Well, we didn't pull it exactly. We went to another series of ads. But no, I respect that. I mean, that sequence had been out there millions of times. And the point was that when officers interact with civilians all the time, and if there's misconduct, then we were prepared to do something. We didn't have to wait for that type of tragedy to take place. Mm-hmm. We started this the first day I took office, and if I'm Attorney General, I'm going to do the same thing the first day I take office. I'm not out to make friends. I'm not out for the support of any particular interest group. We're going to make a difference, and I'm going to make sure people understand. If you're treated badly by the criminal justice system, much less criminally, then I'm prepared to do something about it.
But are you saying that there's a problem of policing in Pennsylvania?
I'm saying when we started out, and certainly there's, you know, with a lot of people, they're disconnected from their criminal justice system. We talked about that before the show. But if you're talking about racial profiling, I mean, we started from the beginning of my administration with the Chiefs of Police Association in our county to put cameras in police cars. You're not going to stop somebody because they're female. You're not going to stop somebody because they're black. There has to be an objective reason. And if you don't, then there's going to be ramifications of that. And racial profiling, for the most part, has gone away. Or at least, at the very least, there's evidence that the public can take a look at and say, you know what, I'm offended by that. It's also a safety tool. It's also a training tool. So, I mean, there are other issues that we sought to address, and we have.
Let me see what Jerry from Center City, Philadelphia has to say. Jerry, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Marty. I just had one question about the current issue of the Philadelphia Gay News. They published the responses of four of the candidates for Attorney General to a series of questions that they asked each candidate. The two Republicans and then two of the three Democrats all responded, but Mr. Cipolla did not respond to their request for an interview. And I was just wondering if he could comment
sure.
on that.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if that was a scheduling problem or, you know, in a campaign like this, you're talking about a lot of people who make decisions about scheduling and such. I've enjoyed a very good relationship with the LGBT community in Allegheny County. In fact, we're going through the planning processes right now with Pride Fest, which is a major event every year in Pittsburgh.
Same here in Philly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I'm sorry I didn't know that I'd missed that interview, but I'd look forward to doing that.
So you didn't know anything? It sounds like it was a questionnaire, but
yeah, I don't keep my
thing.
I don't keep my count. I'm just told where. I'm afraid now I'm told where to go.
Let me read a couple of emails here. An email from Sass. What does a candidate for attorney general propose to do to eliminate the influence and role of the American Legislative Exchange Council? That's called ALEC, and has been accused of having undue influence on legislatures when it comes to very particular issues that seem to favor the business community. I don't know if you have a position on that or not.
I'm not sure what that organization entails, but you had asked me about corporate interests?
Yes.
I think I've made it clear during my administration, when we impacted downtown Pittsburgh, McDonald's Corporation was problematic. We told McDonald's, we're going to take your stores.
Literally?
Yeah. We told them we're going to take your – because they were facilitating drug trafficking, and employees of two of the stores were actually taking advantage of that. They were taking advantage of women bartering with narcotics. So I think I've demonstrated over the years, corporations don't mean anything to me. Unfortunately, over the years also – you're talking about at the attorney general level, you're talking about fracking and you're talking about other issues certainly that involve the environment. And I haven't seen people – what I saw with the attorney general's office historically was that they would come in and make a narcotics arrest in a particular media market because they wanted to be on TV. And that just facilitated – you know, it justified their existence and you know, well, I'm a tough guy. You know, I took out these drug dealers. I think the much more important issues deal with corporate America. I think they deal with politicians at the highest level. That office, you know, that office is equipped. It's got three grand juries, so it's no. Mm-hmm. It can do
it
a lot
tools.
Of things. Yeah, and it was created to keep an eye on those types of interests, and that's what I'm going to do.
Tweet from Lojo. How do you feel about marijuana legalizing, taxing, regulating, so adults can choose whether to use it or not? And this is an issue actually before the legislature.
Yeah, unfortunately, what you can do with marijuana, for instance, is a statutory issue. It's at the state level. But that notwithstanding that, City Council in Pittsburgh, the mayor of Pittsburgh, and I had a discussion about treating small amounts of marijuana as a civil matter instead of a criminal matter. And what I told them is I said, here's the issues that you're going to have to address. But if that's what you want to do after you go to the people of Pittsburgh, because that's who you represent. The legislature does not represent the people of Pittsburgh necessarily. You go to them and you conduct public hearings and you tell me how you want to do this and I'll work with you. So they passed an ordinance, which I'm going to work with them on that. And it treats small amounts of marijuana as a civil matter. Now, medical marijuana and that type of thing, mm-hmm. I'd have to have a better understanding about where the community wants to be with that. But some of the historical limitations as to why you would not want to work with that type of narcotic in terms of moving it towards a more legal position in the community, I think that those days are gone.
Are you calling for a special court for veterans? Is that something that you think?
We do. We've had it for quite some time.
This is in Allegheny County?
Yeah. Yeah.
What, so treating veterans differently from the rest of the – or from the civilian population?
No, not necessarily as a veteran. I mean, that's part of the qualifications to get on the docket, but it's a mental health thing. It's typically a mental mm-hmm. health issue. And we do have a mental health court also in Allegheny County. So it was a logical extension of that. And quite frankly, when you serve your country, you should be looked at specially, I think.
To have what, special application of laws?
No, you're not really applying the law specially. Mm-hmm. You're just making them – you're putting them in a position where they can qualify for these types of courts.
Pennsylvania has been known as a puppy mill capital, and how do you view the prosecution of crimes against animals, dogs, all the sad abuse that we see in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm a dog owner. In fact, my security details, my canine.
Is your dog?
It's my canine. I've sat on Animal Friends, which is the largest no-kill shelter. I'm on the board, and I've been on the board for 20 years. And I'm proud to say that early on in my tenure that we changed the law in terms of dog fighting and made it a felony. We changed the law in terms of being a person who sits and as a spectator. We made that a criminal matter because if you don't have the spectators, you don't have the money, you don't have the appeal of a dog fighting. I feel strongly about people who abuse animals, and we're very, very aggressive. In fact, we have an ADA who's become kind of famous across Pennsylvania. They call her the doggy DA. Her name is Deb Jugan. And that's because we've been on the front of these things and we've been very, very aggressive in how we're going to address them. So I'm not going to, I would do the same thing as attorney general I've done as a district attorney.
Do you think there's a Republican and a Democratic way of being attorney general?
No, I don't. I really don't. It's sad. And I love this Commonwealth, but it's sad because I hear routinely about how corrupt we are, and some people refer to us as the most corrupt jurisdiction in the country. That didn't happen overnight. That's happened over a period of time. And I think part of it is because, again, that office was created to represent the interests of individual people that can't stand up to utilities, that can't stand up to banks, that can't stand up to corporate interests. And the agenda of the persons in the office may have been guided by their own personal interests or political. They want to be something else. Well, I have no interest in doing that.
An email from Maureen. I'm wondering about Steve's feeling about how he'd handle questions on abortion. We know Kathleen Kane is pro-choice. How do you feel about that?
Well, the law of this nation is a woman's right to choose. I don't really see that as an issue in the campaign. The only interest the state has is to make sure when somebody makes that choice that they're safe in doing that. Now, I've seen efforts across the country to, in the best interest of the health of a woman, they continue to try to restrict a woman's right to choose. When that issue comes up, then, as I said at the outset, a woman has a right to choose. That is the law.
There is something making its way through the legislature. We don't know where it's going to go yet. Final question to you about a minute or so before we have to say goodbye. You came close to trying out for the Boston Red Sox.
Well, actually, I was a pretty good pitcher. I could throw the ball very hard, yeah. I was recruited. We called him Uncle Socko, and he recruited me. And
who's Uncle Socko?
He was the scout for Boston and another team. And he recruited me when I was a freshman and a sophomore in high school. But in my family, and this started with my grandfather, you go to college and you go to law school. And so,
you don't play baseball?
No, you don't play
baseball. Not in America?
Not in my family.
Even for the Boston Red Sox?
You can play as a kid, but you can't play professionally.
Oh, so your grandfather put a stop to this?
Yeah, he created the tradition. It was ingrained in me.
Well, Steve Zappala, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And he's a Democratic candidate for Attorney General here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and he has served as district attorney in Allegheny County since 1998. The second of I think five candidates running that we are all going to have here on Radio Times, and we do hope that you appreciate this opportunity that we are giving you to hear what these candidates have to say. Tell us what you think. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can send us an email. You can check us out on Facebook. You can download a podcast of the show and connect with us in a number of different ways. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour Radio Times, and do stay with us for hour two. We'll be right back.